strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Oh, that is our cue. Absolutely. 'Twas the night before Thanksgiving. And all through Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Everyone was stirring because you know what? The bandwagon is forming right there to the left. Right out to the left of Calais Campbell on the Big Red Rage, everyone. The guys from Santan Ford are here. Tim Helvick and company, we are ready to roll. Absolutely. Ron Wolfley, check. You over there, Wolf?
Check.
Here we go. Calvisi, check. We are ready to go. Calais Campbell, easy question off the top. Does Victory Monday trump Black Friday?
Oh, yeah. In my opinion, there's nothing better than a Victory Monday, you know.
Because that tells us exactly what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, it means you handle business, and we're going to take care of you. We're going to let you relax and have a little fun. Come in when you want to, you know. You don't have to come in, only if you want to.
You know, Calais, it's really interesting because you look at the score, of course, 40-11. 40-11, you beat the Indianapolis Colts. Was it as nasty when you watched it on film? Was it as dominant as it appeared to be on film?
Honestly, we could have did a few more things out there. And
really,
40-11 could have easily been 40-3.
What's going on in that locker room right now, Calais? What is going on? Because it seems like there's a dead level stare from player to player going on in this locker room. And it feels, I don't know, it feels a little playoff-like.
Yeah, I think everybody's focused and motivated, you know? I mean, everybody wants to be in the playoffs. I mean, that's our goal, you know. Beginning of the year, you go to training camp and you tell yourself, you know, talk to your teammates. Playoffs, January football, that's what it's all about, you know. And so when you get there, you know, you're at the point in the season where you only have 5 games left. You know, every game counts. Every game counts, especially in our division in NFC right now where so many teams are so close. You know that you have no room for error. You have to go out there and focus day in and day out and figure out how to win games.
You know, Coach said earlier this week that, you know, someone asked him about his finger on the pulse of that locker room. He said it's louder now. There's more noise in there. He said they have a cause. And he said all great teams that he's been around, and he said last year's Colts team was like that. They had a cause. They rallied around their head coach who was battling leukemia. Now, there may not be anything that has quite that gravity this year for the Cardinals, but do you sense that? Are you guys rallying around this? I don't know. And if there is a cause, what might it be? Do you care to define it? Is it still nebulous? Do you sense it? What would you say about that?
You know, I think we have a true team. You know, I think we're playing for each other. You know we all want it. We know we're all good enough to get it. So everybody's doing the small things to make sure that we don't let each other down. And that's huge. Accountability. I mean, that's what it's all about. Accountable to your teammate. Accountable to your brother.
And the confidence level. It keeps ratcheting up another level. Win after win. 4 straight wins, right? This team is going to make it 5 straight. They haven't done that since 1977. The confidence level just continues to build, it seems like.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, we try to do things that the Cardinals have never really done before, you know, and, like, win a Super Bowl.
There you go. That's a great start to the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell and his special guest straight ahead here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, presented by Santan Ford.
First down for the Cardinals on their 20. They're going to run Ellington up the middle. He cuts left and has running room at the 30-yard line. At the 40, it's a foot race at the 50. Near side 40, at the 30, 25-20, 15-10, 5, touchdown! An 80-yard run by the super rookie, Andre Ellington.
Hands on the ground, running an inside zone. Bounced it to the outside. The corner pitched, and it was nothing but a foot race.
Yeah, no big deal. Just tied for the third longest run in franchise history. 80-yard touchdown run there against Atlanta, part of a 154-yard day on just 15 carries. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, your host, Calais Campbell, and your special guest. And I emphasize the word special because that is a word you have used. You have attached the rookie to your left, correct?
Yes, he really is. I mean, I tell you, like, he's one of those – he's the type of guy, like – you know, when you find your some old pants you haven't worn in a while, you're getting ready to wash them, and you reach into the pockets to make sure they're empty, and you find, like, a couple dollars, you know, it's like a big surprise.
Sure.
Like,
oh, yeah.
$20 in my wallet, you know.
Come on, with you it had to be a Benjamin. Come on now, you reach in there, absolutely. Come on now.
That's this kind of guy. He's a surprise, you know. Nobody knew he was going to be this good. You know, I mean, we're a sixth-round pick. I mean, to be, you know, I think he should have been a first-round pick. You know, I watched him in college. This guy's a stud. I mean, Andre Ellington. You know, thank you for coming and being on the show for me today.
Oh, no problem, man.
How about it, everyone? Andre Ellington on board tonight.
How'd you end up going in the sixth round?
Well, I battled a few injuries going into the draft. Combine, you know, especially pulled a hamstring. Yeah. It kind of allowed me to get drafted later than I was supposed to.
Did that motivate you?
Yeah.
Going to late?
Of course, man. Until this day, I'm still motivated by it. When I get a chance to go against all the teams that passed me up in the draft, you know, I kind of got there with a chip on my shoulder. So,
I like it. Dre, do they call you Dre, by the way? I mean, you know, Andre. I mean, what do they call you in the locker room?
All the players call me Dre. The coaching staff called me 6 Mile.
6 Mile? What is that all about?
Not 8 Mile like Eminem, but 6 Mile.
What is 6 Mile?
Okay.
Well, I guess I got the name because that's a small town in Clemson where I played school at. And Coach Moore gave me the name 6 Mile. So all the coaches ran with it. So I'm 6 Mile.
So, right, so what does B.A. call you?
He called me 6 Mile when I'm doing good. He called me Dre for the first time today. I thought it was pretty funny. He kind of threw me off. I thought he was talking to Andre Roberts. But he was talking to me.
Was it in a good connotation?
Well, I didn't mess up too bad. Kind of didn't go deep like I was supposed to on my route, but he called me Dre, so it kind of threw me off. So
he's progressing from 6 Mile to 6 to Dre now. Is that what it is?
No, I think I'm still 6 Mile.
Say maybe it's that point in the season where they don't consider you a rookie anymore. I don't know. Maybe that was sort of a rite of passage, you know, perhaps. I don't know. By the way, you know, just when B.A. speaks, right? Okay, and so you grew up where?
A little outside of Charleston.
Okay.
A small town called Monk's Corner.
Now, Coach Arians is from Pennsylvania. Doesn't it sound like he's from down south? Doesn't he, you know, that accent? You know what I mean? It's always curious. He gets asked about that a lot as well. Do you find that a little curious, you know?
Yeah. Hearing him being from that area, it's pretty different. You know, he's have the accent of a down south guy, like you said, but sometimes that up north comes out when he's getting on you and yelling like,
"Oh yeah, just mad!" It comes out.
Well, speaking of your rookie season, have you hit that proverbial rookie wall? Do you sense it? Do you see it in the distance? Have you had to deal with that at all?
Not at all. I'm enjoying every moment of it. You know, when you can go out there and win the games that we've been winning and the way how we've been winning them, it's all fun and games at the end of the day. And I'm enjoying being around these guys. You know, we have great leaders on the team. And these guys, you know, they make sure the young guys is doing what they're supposed to do. And
Dre, are you surprised by your success?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No.
Are you good?
I'm good. I'm trying to be great.
Have you been able to say that to yourself? You know what? I think it's important. I really do, folks. I think it's important for every rookie to be able to say, you know what? I can play with these guys. I can play with these guys. Not only can I play with these guys, I can succeed. I can achieve at this level. And I think it's important that every rookie comes to that conclusion right now, deep down in your heart, when it's just you, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, man, and you're up way too late, and there's shadows creeping across the ceiling, right, and it's just you. Do you say to yourself, I'm good? And do you know that in your heart?
Yeah, I tell myself that from time to time, but I don't let it get to me. Just go out there and work, man, and try to be the best that I can be at my position and just be a factor every time I'm out there on the game. So,
how do you not let that go to your head?
Just kind of brush it off. I mean, it's all good news to hear that, but at the end of the day, you still gotta put out that work, and that's what I'm all about. All the success, you know, my success motivates me to be better.
And by the way, if he starts talking about shadows and stuff, he reads a lot of Edgar Allan Poe. When you were a rookie, did you have to come in and prove it? And does every rookie have to do that?
Yes, 100%. You know, but it doesn't really change. You know, I think, you know, you have to prove it every year. Every game you have to prove it. You're only as good as your last memory. And, you know, you're going to have some bad games here and there. That's going to come. But, you know, I mean, you really have to prove it every year. They're always trying to replace you. I mean, NFL stands for not for long. I mean, they're always trying to bring somebody in that can do a better job for cheaper. So you have to go out there and prove your worth and prove that you still got it. And, I mean, it doesn't really change. But the rookie year is the most important because that's the one that shows that you can do it with the cream of the crop, with the best of the best.
How long does it take a veteran player to tell if a rookie can play the game or not? Can you tell in minicamp and OTAs? Can you tell?
There were two guys that I just knew had it this year as rookies. And that was my man to my left, Andre Ellington, and Tyrann Mathieu. Those are the two I just realized when they got on the field, they just were football players, just had a knack for it.
You know, I think one of the things that's so important, it's just so important for every young guy to come to that conclusion. But you know what? The other advice I would offer is don't fear failure. Fear success. Fear success. Because success can really mess you up and make it complacent. And that is the enemy of anybody who competes at the highest level we as a species can generate.
Well, folks, Andre Ellington, the sixth-round rookie, is averaging 6 yards a carry. That is the highest average among all NFL players with at least 70 carries. Think about that as we continue to roll on. The Big Red Rage, Andre Ellington, the special guest of Calais Campbell, back right after this.
Luck back to throw, slides up, he gets nailed, throws incomplete to the near side, almost picked off by Tyrann Mathieu. Calais Campbell hammered Andrew Luck, and Mathieu almost had a pick six.
Boy, I don't know how Andrew Luck got off the ground without a dustpan and a broom. Wow, did he get hammered.
And I tell you, the Colts went through their game film and they're like, okay, who's this guy next to Andrew Luck in our backfield virtually all game long? And that would be the host of the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, everyone. Andre Ellington, a special guest. Tell us about your game. And you went back and looked at the film and said to yourself, what?
That I left a lot of opportunities out there. But I did play hard. I left it all on the field. And I was, you know, I got a lot of pressure against Luck. I hit him a bunch of times, but there was a few times where, you know, he gave me a little move and made me miss a couple times, and I'm dying inside from it because, you know, as a defensive end, our job is to sack quarterbacks, and no quarterback should be able to run away from you. Not one, not Cam Newton, Michael Vick, nobody. That's what we do for a living. And Andrew Luck, I mean, he made me look a little bad a couple times, and you know, I mean, I'm happy because we won the game, but if we ever play them again, I can't wait.
There were two things, Calais, that I noticed about your guys' pass rush. The first would be you didn't blitz as much as I've seen you guys blitz in the past. You brought four, and to me, five is not a blitz, even though I know technically there are some people out there that will say that. Six or more is a true blitz to me. But you guys seem to do an awful lot of stunting and running a lot of games as well. Is that right? Am I accurate on that?
Yeah, when you don't blitz, you have to mix it up a little bit. Right. Otherwise, you know, they just double team a few guys and make it hard. You know, so when you mix it up, then, you know, now they're, like, guessing that to sit back and wait.
A lot of ETs and TEs, right? A lot of that going on in there. Did you go in there? Did Todd Bowles point that out? Had the Colts had problems, their offensive line, with a lot of the stunning in the games that you guys did? Did you see that on film going into this game?
Yeah, they struggle with movement a little bit.
I mean, okay.
They're athletic guys, but, you know, once you're going one way, it's hard to change direction. So we had a game plan that we were going to move around and, you know, kind of make it hard for them, you know, to stop us. But I think getting a lead early helped us out a lot because we had blitzes that we were running, you know, especially early in the game. But once you got a big lead against a quarterback like
right.
You know, I mean.
Why
do
it?
All the great ones, yeah.
Yeah.
But you could rush for four.
But you've said it before. You don't necessarily have to sack the quarterback, you know, to get in there and disrupt their game plan. I mean, you guys were in there quite often, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we didn't get a lot of sacks, but Andrew Luck was running for his life. Yeah. Oh, he was running for his life all day.
Amazing. And he got hit quite a bit.
Got hit a ton, Paulie. And you know what's so weird about this game, guys, is Carson Palmer was sacked three times. Andrew Luck was sacked once. Ask me who was under duress in that game. It wasn't Carson Palmer.
No, you're right.
It was Andrew Luck.
Yeah. The box score belies the game film.
Absolutely.
No, you're absolutely. Andre, when you guys are on the sideline and you're watching this defense and the way it's playing right now, and it's number two against the rush, and it's number eight overall, and they're making half, you know, adjustments at halftime, and they're nearly impenetrable in the second half. I mean, do you guys feed off that a little bit as an offense when you're watching the D?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Me personally, I know how great our defense can be. You know, they haven't reached their peak yet, but they're close to it. And just by me going against them every day in training camp and OTAs, you know, I know what they're capable of doing. And just to see them out there making plays, giving us the ball back as an offense is great to see. So.
You know, Andre, one of the guys I was really, really impressed with was Rashard Mendenhall. Here is a guy that some games it looks like he's torpid. It looks like he's sluggish, frankly. Looks like he's not decisive in some of his reads. And then some games you watch him, and it is a thing to behold. And I would say that last game was like that. When you watch Rashard Mendenhall, talk a little bit about him and maybe the influence that he's had on you as a young running back.
Rashard's a great guy, man. Actually built a friendship with him off the field. When I first got here, you know, I didn't really talk to him much. He was more of the veteran guy, and I was that rookie, you know, just hanging around. But just having a chance to work with him and actually make each other better, you know, some reads that he make, and I'm asking him, like, how did you make that? And vice versa. It's some things that I do out there in the field. Mm-hmm. He's asking me, how did I do that? So I feel like we go hand-to-hand pretty well as a backfield.
He looked like he was healthy, did he not, Calais? He looked like he was healthy in this last game.
That's the best I've seen him all season. You know, he was very decisive. You know, he was fast out of his breaks, out of his cuts. And really, I mean, he ran with a passion. You know, he was trying to get to the end zone. He smelt it. And, you know, I mean, if we can get that out of him every time, get the way he runs, you know, downhill and the cuts he makes, the vision he has, get our receivers to play the way they played this last game. I mean, if we can get that consistently week in and week out, we'll be a tough team to beat, especially with the way our defense is playing. Because we play off our offense. You know, the offense, when they do well, I mean, it makes our job so much easier. We build off it and we start playing even better because we know how good we can be when we both play well. And that, I mean, it's amazing. I love what we can do out there.
In our post-game radio interview, Andre, he mentioned that he played without the brace on his knee. And he cited that as a big difference. You know, I mean, did you see it? Did you see a different guy out there, a healthy guy?
Yeah, I did. He wanted to take that brace off a couple weeks back, but, you know, trainers told him that it wasn't time for you to do that, but it showed. Yeah, I think they should have told him to take it off a couple weeks ago because he was on fire last game.
How do you guys feel winning four games in a row? This is not Atlanta that you guys beat. This is not Houston that you guys beat. This is not Jacksonville that you guys beat. Not that there's anything wrong with that. A win is a win is a win in the National Football League. But this is the Indianapolis Colts, 7-3, leaders in the AFC South Division. This is a good football team. You guys thrashed them. You've won four in a row. What's it like?
It feels good, you know, but I tell you, I think we're looking forward to the Eagles now. The Eagles are a good team, and we got to shut them down. I mean, it felt good on Monday to celebrate that win. But after that, it's all Eagles, you know. I mean, it's one game at a time.
But it had to be confirmation. It had to be confirmation that you guys are a good football team. Something's happening.
For the rest of the world, yeah. But for us, I mean, we knew we were good for a long time. And I mean, we're still keep going out there trying to prove it week in and week out. And come playoffs, that's when it really matters.
Very interesting. Well, we'll get into some of the numbers by young Nick Foles a little bit later. He has yet to throw an interception this season, for example. That was It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. It is a Big Red Rage, presented by the guys at Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Back right after this.
Palmer under center, takes the snap, going to throw a fade, left side, end zone for Fitzgerald. He got it! Touchdown, Cardinals!
There is no defense for a freak on a fade.
Palmer takes another pass play, straight drop back, gets drilled as he throws near side into the end zone. Oh, Fitz caught it! Touchdown, Cardinals! My goodness, did Palmer take a lick?
That is one bad, bad bird! Run in the corner, and Larry ran it beautifully, and Carson Palmer, in the face of pressure, put it right on him.
Let me tell you, it is so great to see Fitz. Fitz on a fade in the end zone, his specialty, ding. Who's with me on that one here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, right? That's when you know the Cardinals offense is firing on all cylinders. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Calais Campbell, our host, his special guest, Andre Ellington. If you're the opposing defense and Fitz is on a fade in the end zone, that's a pretty high degree of difficulty, isn't it, to defend that?
Yeah, there's not much you can do. You know, you just gotta hope the quarterback throws it too far.
And by the way, Carson Palmer named NFC Offensive Player of the Week today.
Wow.
QB rating of 114, two touchdowns, no picks. You know, he finally, you know, and they talk about, and you guys tell me, and Andre, maybe you're the best guy to answer this. You know, there's so much talk about how, especially in the passing game, the guys are finally in sync with the playbook and everyone's on the same page and footballs aren't hitting the ground in practice. And now Carson Palmer is releasing the ball before guys are out of their breaks because he trusts the routes and everyone's going to be in the right place at the right time. When did you start sensing that in this offense?
I'll say after the New Orleans game, we're starting to understand the offense more as a group. When we first kind of got here, well, when I first got here, it was kind of foreign. You know, mm-hmm. I was used to that fast, up-tempo, no-huddle offense in college. But now it's more huddle, and the play is longer. You know, it feels like the play is – it seems like it's forever when he reads it out to us in the huddle. But, you know, we feel like we – all on the same page as a group, so.
I don't want to go all John Gruden here, but could you actually list one, Andre, off the top of your head? I mean, I know you're not the quarterback or anything. Is there like a long, is that putting you on the spot? That's putting you on the spot?
No, I'll call one of the run plays out.
Okay.
Facts right, 22 double. Keep it simple.
I knew it was going to be 22 double.
Keep it simple.
22 double is basically the power, Paul. It's running the power without pulling an offensive lineman.
Right.
It's firing off two double teams. It's straightforward. It's basically running the power without pulling a lineman, and it is B.A.'s favorite running play. Is it not?
It is.
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to remember if this is a running or a pass play, but there was a play in the game, and you went for big yardage, and Dockett got up off the bench and went, oh, and he punched the air and said, they always torch us with that play in practice. I'm so glad to see him hit the Colts for it. Do you remember? And it was you. And you're on the business end, and you got a big gain out of it, but it was some play, and Dockett was lamenting that you guys always get the defense with that in practice. Don't remember it?
I think I do. it's a draw that we usually run.
Yes.
But it's more of like a sweep draw. It's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Because you end up on the edge and up the sideline.
Yes,
exactly.
That's kind of like that speed draw you guys run well, right?
Draw,
you take a couple of steps and you freeze.
Right.
And Carson's rolling out that way and boom, dumps it off to you, right? And away you go. Man, you've had some big, big runs on that play, haven't you?
Yes. Well, I mean, it starts with the guys up front, man. We have linemen that can pull and actually run. And when those guys are running in front of me, it makes my job a lot easier.
How important is balance, do you guys think? How important is balance to this offense? Even though you're starting to see Carson Palmer come around, you're starting to see Michael Floyd make some big plays. Rob Housler, my goodness, he's starting to come around as well. Larry's in the end zone now more. And even though you're throwing the ball, how important do you, Andre, think that balance is to this offense?
It's real important. Keeps the defense on their toes. They're not expecting us to run the ball at times when we're actually throwing it. You know, we got guys that can make plays downfield. We have backs that can hit the holes and run hard, and we have a quarterback that can put any pass anywhere on the field. So,
and play action is a big part of this offense, isn't it?
Right.
And that's where you've got to hold up in protection. How are you doing in that regard?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Still have a lot of room for work. You know, I hit that hard in the offseason, try to take my game to another level. But as of now, you know, I'm just enjoying my role and just making plays.
You know, you guys mentioned the guard was pulling. That's not the only thing that's been pulled so far this season. Last week we had Larry Fitzgerald going full circle to the beginning of this segment in his touchdown catch, and he was talking about you and the hair incident in Jacksonville. So has that all died down now? I mean, that was like the 15 minutes of fame, was it not? I mean, that was like a ball of fury in the media and on social media as well.
Yeah, I felt like it died down. I kind of put a hold to it. I told him I didn't want to talk about it too much because it's kind of a distraction, and I was trying to get ready for the next game. But the hair is fine. It's all up there, and it's ready to roll.
Last we saw you, you had the hair, and you were talking to Coach Aaron. You came into the locker room, right? Frosted record, got it. What happened from there? Did you have it? I mean, is it back in place now?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Nice. Coach kind of got a kick out of it when I showed it to him. He's like, "Well, you just need to go ball like I am."
Did you know that Bruce Arians once had a long mullet? Do you know that he had that mullet going? Did he tell you about that?
Yeah, he told me about that.
Bruce Arians had this nasty mullet, and he had to actually cut it. He had to cut it because he said he got pulled in a game.
Right. He said he got tackled by it.
Yeah,
right?
Have you ever thought of doing that? Do you ever worry about that? Because it is, according to the NFL, it's part of the uniform.
I'm not ready to go bald, Jay. I'm still young.
You know, you can do like a fade or something.
I'm gonna hold on to it as long as I can. So,
Calais, what's the vibe this week in practice as you guys get ready to go to the East Coast and it's not going to be all that warm out there? You know, all those variables you heard about over the years, right? The warm, wetty city, you know, going to the Eastern time zone and all that. What's the vibe this week?
You know, they said it might be like 45 degrees.
Yeah, that's the forecast.
It could be sunny. They said it could rain. If we get lucky and get a sunny day there, they're in trouble, I tell you. But that cold weather definitely is something that, you know, you have to get your mind ready for. You know what I mean? It's being an Arizona guy, I mean, this is cold to us. And Philly, this is warm. So I think we're mentally sharp, though. You know, this offense we're playing against as a defense is probably the most, the high tempo and
explosive.
You know, yeah, explosiveness. I mean, they have probably one of the best running backs in the game right now. You know, we have our hands full, but I think that, you know, we had a good practice today. We're going to be ready.
And you guys are going out a day early. You'll have that walkthrough in the cold on Saturday. Try and acclimate a little bit. We'll continue to roll on. It's the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell and Andre Ellington.
Andre Luke, posición escopeta. Descolta mano derecha, Richardson. Tiene el balón, Andre Luke. Aguanta la bolsa, viene la captura, lanzar. Interceptado, Carlos Dunphy. Finalmente se queda con ella. Y la regresa a la zona. Touchdown. Arizona. El pájaro sucio, Carlos Dunphy.
Oh, the great Gabriel Trio there. The Spanish call. Carlos Dansby, the 22-yard pick six. And actually, that's a franchise record. He becomes the first linebacker in franchise history with three interception returns for a touchdown in their career. And it sort of had that feel. And Wolf nailed this on the broadcast. You guys can agree or disagree. Andre Ellington, Calais Campbell. I guess this one's designed for you here, Calais. It sort of had that feel 2008, 2009. When Wolf said it, I said, you're absolutely right. The Red Sea erupted, and there's Dansby in the end zone making a play. And doing the dirty bird. You're absolutely right.
He's been working on a jug machine every day after practice for at least 2 weeks now. And, I mean, everybody's giving him a hard time because he really should have about four or five pick sixes this year already.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he decided he wanted to put the work in. And every day you see him out there catching like he's a receiver. You know, and I'm like, on the jug machine. And then he gets in the game, catch that ball so smooth, like a receiver, take it to the house. And I was like, wow, it pays off. Hard work does pay off.
It's got to be the gloves. Fitz gave him the receiver gloves too, right?
Yeah,
in addition to all that. Yeah, very nice.
You know,
very
it's nice. So funny too, Paulie, that you bring that up because University of Phoenix Stadium, the Red Sea, certainly did feel that way. It was incredibly loud in that building, was it not, Calais? I don't know why. It's the Indianapolis Colts. It's an AFC team. It's not like they're a division rival. But I thought it was as loud as I have heard it this year, and it just had that feeling. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that it was Carlos. You know, yeah. Carlos in that building and a pick six doing the filthy bird. But, man, I think the fan base, I think the Red Sea senses the fact that this team is coming together and becoming something. And you certainly could hear that on Sunday, couldn't you?
Yes, you can. That energy, like, it was electric in there again, you know. And, I mean, I really do feel like the crowd, I mean, the way this team is going, I mean, it reminds me a lot about that team in 2008 where we really, you know, we just came together towards the end of the season and made a strong run. And, I mean, everything just, it was flowing. It was intense. It was amazing. It was electrifying. That's what it really was. And, I mean, it's starting to get the beginning of that. It's coming right now, you know. And if we just keep that going, keep that momentum going, we can ride this horse. Take it all the way, wherever it takes us. You know, I'm hoping it takes us all the way to New York in February.
I'll tell you what, as long as we're going down memory lane here, gentlemen, all right, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Adrian Wilson, the former host of this show, had Rex Hadnott as a guest, all right? And we were talking Thanksgiving, so we just thought we'd revisit this for a moment, as long as we're going down memory lane, et cetera. And here was Rex Hadnott. He's a little incredulous about, well, I guess we had a certain ignorance about a certain aspect of Thanksgiving. Roll it, guys.
Hadnott household is all about versatility. I'm going to do the meat. My wife is going to do all the sides. We ain't got two boxes of Jiffy yesterday for the dressing. Jiffy cornbread mix for the dressing. What you mean, what is Jiffy? Jiffy corn, you eat cornbread?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Jiffy cornbread.
I cannot believe you guys don't know what Jiffy is.
not us.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
You guys are missing it. I mean, I grew up on Jiffy. I promise you, I was just telling my wife, where's the Jiffy? You know, we need some Jiffy cornbread, and we need to get it popping ASAP.
There you go, Adrian Wilson. Two of the most distinct voices, Rex Hadnott and then A-Dub there. I mean, man, that's just hilarious. What about the Calais Campbell and the Campbell household growing up? Anything particular or specific to the way you guys would celebrate Thanksgiving?
We definitely had Jiffy.
Well, and your delicious. Mom's in town, right? So
yes.
Okay.
All
my
right. mom makes this, I mean, I love her sweet potato like casserole. I love like this icebox pies. My favorite thing to eat, period. I mean, she gets down with this little, like a raisin salad. Like, I mean, she hooks it up. I mean, there's about five or six things that I need on Thanksgiving. My mom, she delivers every year.
I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised by that, Calais. You know, the whole sweet potato thing, sweet potatoes and raisin salad. And I thought maybe you'd be one of those guys that take the turkey leg and just rip that thing off and gnaw on that thing for a while.
Oh, yeah. You know, she makes a real good turkey. She makes really good stuffing. I'm
right,
saying,
right.
You know, the top-notch fans.
What about you, Dre? What are you going to do for Thanksgiving tomorrow? Rookie?
Well, I mean, I was invited to a few of the players' house, Carson being one of them. So I think I'm going to go over and check Carson out, see how he do on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, yeah.
What about you? What are you going to do? Calais, you going to have some people over?
Yeah, my mom's cooking, and a couple guys are coming over from the team. You know, all my family pretty much travels for the holidays and comes here. So
Dumpster Dan Williams going to be over?
Dan's definitely coming over.
Now, how much damage does Dan Williams do on Thanksgiving? Come on, be honest.
Oh, man, he does so much. Last year, he came over and, like, really did too much damage. So this year, he felt bad. He says he brings his own turkey. You know?
Wait a minute. He had turkey guilt? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, turkey guilt.
But that was the old Dan. That's when Dan was around 350 or so, right? I mean, you know, he's not quite – he doesn't maybe have quite that same appetite he had this time a year ago.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been eating pretty healthy. He's been on this real cool diet, but this is a cheat day. You know, Thanksgiving's a cheat day, so I'm pretty sure he's going to go crazy in there.
I see. So there, I just picture Dan at the table still eating while everybody's sitting around talking, and there's Dan just still going. He's like a marathon eater, just going and going.
He's a sprinter. You know, he gets
there
quick. I mean, before I'm even, like, taking three bites, he's already done. I'm like, what did you do with your food? Did you just inhale it? I mean, it's crazy.
Calais, talk a little bit. What has Alameda Ta'amu done for Dan Williams this year? What kind of impact do you think he's had on Dan?
You know, a big one, a real big one. I think the biggest thing, first of all, it's the competition factor. You know, guys want to be on the field all the time.
That's good, isn't it?
It's great. I love it. You know, and that's what football's all about. That's what, you know, a good front office does. They put the best players on the field that can help you win games. And, you know, when you're challenged and you want, to compete, you know, it brings the best out of all of us. You know, I was challenged before, a couple of years back with Alan Branch. And Alan Branch is a great friend of mine, and they put him on the field a lot more because he was doing well. And all it did was make me play even better because I wanted to be on the field. I didn't want to be on the sideline. You know, I'm an in-game, change-the-game kind of player, and Dan is too.
It's very interesting. Why is that? What is it that gets to a player? Is it because you guys are so competitive and that got you to this level? Is it, okay, wait a minute, this is my livelihood? What is it that strikes a nerve? Because you can see it at so many positions, and a lot of people are even liking it to maybe Rob Housler and Jake Ballard showing up. I mean, and you can do that at a number of positions this year on the Cardinals. What is it that gets to the core of a guy, and all of a sudden a light bulb goes on?
You know, there's nothing better than competition. This is our livelihood. We love this game. This is our way of feeding our families. And when the possibility comes in that this might not be for long, I mean, you give it your best shot. You know, you just go out there. I'm going to go out swinging. Whatever happens, I'm going to give my best shot. I'm going to go out swinging.
Hey, a reminder, 2014 Pro Bowl balloting, it is now open. Yes, the balloting at azcardinals.com/Pro Bowl. Back right after this on the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell and Andre Ellington.
This could be the game. Fourth down and one. Handoff, Hightower running right. Gets to the outside, and he's got the first down at the 45 and pushed out of bounds. Throws a slant to Fitz, caught at the 30, inside the 25, and down at the 23. It's a gain of about 18 and a first down for the Cardinals.
Larry Fitzgerald is literally trying to will this team to victory right now.
Pumps right, throws back to the left. Hightower caught at the 10. Cuts left to the 5. Hightower to the goal line, and in! Touchdown! And the Cardinals retake the lead with 2:53 to go. Picked off by Dockett. Dockett inside the 10. That's it. The Cardinals have shot the world. Right but true. The Cards have done it. They're going to Super Bowl 43.
Man, let that soak in for a minute. My goodness. Andre Ellington, the guest of Calais Campbell. Andre is a rookie. If you want a money moment, none bigger right there than the Cardinals clinching the NFC against Philadelphia, advancing to Super Bowl 43. And I can already picture the confetti coming down on the field. And if it gives me chills, I can only imagine you're on that field, what that must feel like to hear that again.
Yeah, that was my rookie year, man. And that was just – everything just went right for us. I mean, all the breaks that we had. I mean, getting the home NFC Championship game at home. I mean, that's unheard of, especially because we only went 9-7. But things just fell into place for us, and we really capitalized off it.
By the way, Wolf, he had the introduction here, Andre Ellington, earlier. How about the VIP in the front row over here? That was game number 837 in the career, the 42-year career of Cardinals legendary trainer John Omohundro, who is on hand here tonight. How
right
about
here.
A round of applause? 838 games in his career because he went on to work the Super Bowl and then went into retirement. How about that?
Yeah, but Johnny Omohundro right here, a legend in the National Football League. And I can't tell you how many times I was laying on my back looking at Johnny O. I can't even tell you how many times. It was just what a scary thing you could imagine.
Yeah. How scary is Nick Foles when he's thrown 16 touchdowns, no interceptions? He's 4-1 as a starter, right? I mean, this guy has a quarterback rating of 128 right now, and if he keeps it up, he's on pace to break the regular season all-time record held by Aaron Rodgers 2011. Your thoughts on Nick Foles?
You know, he's a great quarterback. You know, I think he does very well in the system that he's given. You know, it works for him. You know, he makes quick decisions. He's very decisive, and he puts the ball where he needs to. You know, but the running game is really the key to their offense. They run the ball so well that it makes the throwing, like, way easier. I mean, the balance thing we're talking about earlier is very, very important. I think the reason why we're throwing the ball better now is because we got, you know, this man to my left running the ball very well, and it opened up the doors because people started putting more in the box, started thinking about the run a little bit more, and it opens that door for the throwing game. And Nick Foles is a product of his environment. He throws the ball well what he's given. But LeSean McCoy makes that team go.
It's really an amazing thing when you look at it statistically. You know how explosive the Philadelphia Eagles are with Shady McCoy. And of course, they've got DeSean Jackson as well. They've got so much talent there. And yet, it's all about running the football. It comes back to that. They're the number two rushing team in the NFL now at 151 yards per game with a 4.92 yards per carry. I mean, that is just blowing it up. And when you talk about the Eagles offensively, you've got to talk first and foremost about their rushing attack and the play action that they use coming off of that running game, don't you, Calais?
Yes, you do, 100%. You know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, we have a really good run-stop defense, you know, but this is going to be a test.
Something's got to give.
Yeah, this is going to be a big test. And, you know, I think we're ready for it. We're practicing hard for it, and I'm excited for it. You know, this is going to be a good game to really see where we're at as a team and as a defense. You know, it's a gut check for us. And if we can pass this test, I'll be very, very excited for the future.
I know a lot of guys look at other guys who play their position. How familiar are you with LeSean McCoy there, Andre?
We're going to have our hands full on defense, but I'll take our defense any day. I know what those guys are capable of, and being a running back, if you don't have those running lanes and if a defensive front is creating their own line of scrimmage, then you're going to have a long day as a running back. And going into this game, I see that happening. I see our defense disrupting a lot of the timing for the quarterback and creating their own line of scrimmage and making it hard for McCoy to run. So.
Would you say you guys have some similarities in your game? I mean, you know, and that's a compliment. You know, LeSean McCoy is at the top of his game and near the top of the NFL. Is there some style similarities you think you guys have?
Yes. He can make a lot of the guys miss in open field. And him is not just being a runner. He has great hands out of the backfield. I saw him caught a few balls. We're pretty similar in those ways. So.
And you're getting a lot of more attention from defenses, too. You sense it when you're out there, right? They're calling out your number. They got their eye on you, don't they?
Well, yeah. You're going to have guys trying to pull my hair out. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If they didn't before, they definitely did then. Hey, a reminder, Cardinals single game tickets on sale now at the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or Ticketmaster.com. We continue on. We'll talk about the Eagles next in the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Foles gives it to McCoy, walks in, and dunks it over the crossbar. Foles gives it off to McCoy, who pushes and shoves. He's in! Touchdown, Shady McCoy!
All right, well, of course, we remember last year in the signature win at home, and the Cardinals' defense dominated in that game and really slowed down the likes of Shady McCoy and Michael Vick, who is now the backup quarterback. In fact, Chip Kelly made that official yesterday. Nick Foles is the starter the rest of the way. All right, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley here. Calais Campbell, your host of the Big Red Rage. Andre Ellington is the special guest. And how much does that change the style of their offense? I mean, obviously it's a new head coach from Andy Reid to Chip Kelly. And, I mean, now you got another quarterback, Nick Foles, from Michael Vick. Is it an entirely different deal than what you guys saw a year ago in the Eagles' offense at University of Phoenix Stadium?
Yeah, it's a whole different offense. I mean, the players, a lot of the players are the same. I mean, LeSean McCoy is the same guy. He's a stud. This offense allows him to be better, though. This offense allows him to do more. So, I mean, he has a great system he's in. And then number 10, you know, is the same guy. You know, he's going to stretch the field. He's fast as could be. And you let him run those post routes, those crossing routes. I mean, he's a tough team. He's a tough guy to stop. So, you know, I mean, we have our hands full, but we do melt them. We played them the last 2 years. We played pretty well against them. And, you know, I really feel like, you know, I mean, with a guy like LeSean McCoy, you have to get him to stop his feet. You know, that's penetration. You have to, you know, get him to cut before he wants to. And he's so talented, he can still make things happen. But if you're swarming to the ball and everybody's there, I mean, I think they had a quote, three make the tackle and eight on the way, you know.
Andre, it's so interesting when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles defense. Total, they're number 31 in the National Football League in total defense. They're number 21 in rushing defense. They're number 32, dead last in the NFL in pass defense. You look at all the metrics. Third down, they're in the low 20s, high 20s, I should say. Sacks per attempt, 29. But you know what they do well? They play good red zone defense, don't they? Yeah. They're the classic bend but don't break defense.
Yeah. I had a chance to watch a little bit of film on them. Those guys are capable of being a pretty good defense. You know, take away the stats and the statistics.
Yeah.
You know, you take away all that. But those guys, man, they fight hard, and they play every down like it's their last. And having those defensive guys being as quick as they are up front, it caused a lot of disruptions for offense. And, you know, we have to do a great job as an offense is catching that movement and
being on the same page.
Yeah. Right. And of course, Billy Davis, their defensive coordinator, the former Cardinals defensive coordinator, he loves to confuse with different fronts. We'll wrap this thing up. The Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. And a reminder, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Betteridge Jewelers in Scottsdale and Paul Benzel Jewelers in Yuma. We're wrapping up this edition of the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, special guest Andre Ellington. All right, so you're thinking about the Eagles, and, you know, to what degree are you guys going to have to worry about conditioning out there? I mean, they love to go up-tempo. What does that mean for a defense when you hear the words up-tempo?
It means we have to get in better condition. We ran a little bit more after practice than we usually do, and that's normal against a team like this, but I think it's going to help us on Sunday.
And as far as substituting goes, right? And see, we wanted to substitute right there, and we couldn't. And Chip Kelly's getting us already. Yeah. Is that going to be an issue in this game? Because you guys like to vary your personnel, but at times you're probably not going to be able to when they're firing off play after play.
Yeah, the biggest thing is winning third downs, you know, getting them in third downs and winning them, because otherwise we're going to be stuck on the field for a long time. So that should be motivation. If you don't want to be stuck on the field and being exhausted, you know, you better get
off
the field.
Third down.
Andre, yeah. if you're gonna move the ball and score points against this defense, what do you got to do? What do you guys have to do offensively?
Oh, like Khalid said, we have to win third down.
Third down.
That's important. And
with their offense being so up-tempo. And I know, just going back to my college days, defenses, well, other teams tried to keep us off the field. And in the NFL now, by us, you know what I'm saying, being a great offense, we have to eliminate their offense from being on the field and keep giving our defense the rest, so when they're out there, they can make plays. So.
Run the ball.
Yeah.
That Philly crowd's going to be ugly. They're going to bring it, Calais. You getting ready? They're going to say bad things about you and your family.
I love it. I love when the crowd talks trash. All this motivates me even more. I just want to shut them up. You know, that's football. I love it.
Oh, they're going to be out there tailgating, and oh, yeah, they'll be projecting from the they're right there behind the bench, too, in that stadium.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They are right there. My goodness.
Well, always, guys, ignore the crowd.
It's Wolf, didn't you go into the crowd at Philly?
You know what, Paul? Knock
you
it
did,
off.
Didn't you? Luckily for you, we have no time left.
Not
that
once,
story.
But twice.
Special thanks to Jim Alejandro, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, and Jordan Bird, for Calais Campbell and Andre Ellington. Ron Wolfley, sans going into the crowd this time, especially here at Marley's. No. Special thanks to everyone. I'm Paul Calvisi, all presented by Santan Ford. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, boy? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.